talking about. And when I made that statement, you know, just this evening, you know, we were getting some direction as to where to find Victoria Street. That's where the Linstead Church is located. So the person says, well, go down that road, all right, and when you get to the railway, you'll see a right turn. Don't take that one. So when I made this statement just now, and all of what we could talk about, Paul, we're saying, that's not what we're going to be talking about. What we will be talking about is Paul upon becoming a Christian. Paul upon becoming a Christian. And what we want to spend some time looking at, how did he interact with non-Christians? What was his interaction like when he became a Christian? And we will be staying in the book of Acts for a while, Acts chapter 9, from verse 20 following. But let's step up a little to verse 18. And it says, and immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ. So what we are seeing here is that almost immediately that he became a Christian, that straightway he got active. Immediately after taking on Christianity, he became active. Sometimes we give a false sense of how things ought to be. It's almost like we want to say to persons, you have become a child of God, sit down, don't do anything, and then after a while you get active for Christ. But we see a different thing happening with Paul. When we read verse 20, it says, and straightway he preached Christ. At once, immediately. And so what we are seeing here is that as soon as we become children of God, we can actually start teaching. Somebody says, really? Immediately? Yes. Because here's it. You would have known what you did to become a child of God. And so if it is even that you can't go to passages, you can say, well, you know, in order for me to become a child of God, I needed to hear God's word, believe it, repent, confess Christ, and be baptized. Because you would have walked through that process yourself. And so we are seeing here that Paul taught what he knew. And then somebody says, well, Paul was taught a different, you know, because probably when he went into his encounter, you know, he just got all of this knowledge and so forth. But what we know, in fact, when we look at verse 22, could you read that for me, please?
But Saul increased the more in strength,
yes,
and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus.
All right. So Paul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews that dwelt in Damascus. So what we are seeing here is that there was some amount of growth that took place. So the fact that he grew, it means that at this point when he just became a Christian, he did not really know everything. But he was able to teach what he knew. He was convicted based on his experience. He was. And so the fact that we as Christians would have come into the fold of God, it means that we would have learned something that moved us from where we are into an obedient state with Christ. And so we need to be convicted about that. Now, when we think about our state as Christians, we are not all going to have the same zest and so forth, but we ought to have conviction about what we believe. Right? And sometimes we become Christians, and really and truly, we do, I have to be conscious that I don't have the mobile. Sometimes we really don't know a lot when we become Christians. That's natural. Some persons will know a whole lot. Why? Because you fight it so much that by the time you come to accept the truth, you would have learned a whole lot of things. But the thing is, we really don't need to know a whole lot to become a child of God. And we need to be conscious of that even as Christian teaching. That when we are teaching persons, we don't have to go teaching them everything about the church, about Christ, Christianity. What persons need to know is that Jesus Christ came to save us. And that he has left certain things for us to do in order to become a part of the family. All right? But if it is even that we know, then we can share that with somebody else. And so that is what we saw with Paul when he became a Christian. In fact, he was very clear in his message. Let's look at verse 26 of Acts chapter 9.
And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, mm-hmm. he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so, I'll come back to this point a little later. What I want us to take away from this is that at the point where he became a Christian, he went to Damascus. And in that process, we saw that he started to teach immediately. But not only that, in becoming a Christian, not only did he get active immediately, but there was a marked change in him. There was a marked change in him. Read verse 21 and 22 for me.
But all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, mm-hmm. that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?" Mm-hmm. But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ.
So what we saw, what we are seeing here, is that he was transformed from destroyer to the proclaimer of Christ. There was a marked change in him. He was changed from a prison taker to an emancipator. So God was the Saul who was taking the church and imprisoning them, to the extent that even when they saw him, they were afraid to know a person who was proclaiming Christ. And he wasn't taking the Christians now as prisoners, but he was actually freeing them. You know, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, you know, tells that he moved from this state to that of emancipator. He, in fact, grew. You know, verse 22 says, he increased, he grew, all right? But notice that he was not 100% at the start. But he was proving that Christ was the Messiah. Not only that, he was consistent in his teaching. In verse 22 and verse 23, read verse 23 for me.
And after many days were fulfilled.
After many days were fulfilled,
the Jews took counsel to kill him.
Many days were fulfilled. You know that there are many Christians among us that when they became Christians, they were excited for Christ. You know, is that almost like they would be coming in and saying, "But I don't understand why you have the truth." You know, that's why they're turning to us and say, "You have the truth and you're not sharing that truth. Why? You know, you are the one true church and are coming to this family." And they are wondering, why is it that we are not more on fire? Why we are not showing excitement? And they will have that type of excitement at the start. But then as time goes by, we see them taper off. Verse 23 says, after that, many days were fulfilled.
The Jews took counsel to kill him.
But the point is that he was not short breath. He did not give up just because time had passed. He kept consistently teaching and sharing the truth. Not only was it that Paul showed that he needed to be active immediately, not only was it that we saw a change in Paul, but we saw that he was consistent in his teaching and to the point that he was convicted enough to take risks on behalf of Jesus Christ and the church. Because verse 23 says, in addition to the fact that after many days he continued to teach and to share, persons wanted to kill him. Now that's not a pretty thing, you know. People want to kill you for the sake of Christ. Now, Paul was alert to this plan and he took evasive action. So we don't want people to think that they need to be foolish. If persons are trying to take your life, then you should try to protect it. Alright? So Paul didn't say, "Well, these people trying to kill me, you know, stand up. Wanna come kill me, you know?" That was not his attitude. He took evasive action and he went away to Arabia. So he left from Damascus and he went to another place. Alright, and we'll see later that he actually got help to get away from Damascus. So we have just seen a picture now of Paul shortly after he became a Christian. Alright, because when he got converted, he was on the road to Damascus. Alright, and he associated himself there. But then, when he started to teach and being consistent and everything, they wanted to kill him and he left. Then, from verse 26 to 30, we start to get some insights of Paul in Jerusalem. And when we scan these few verses, I call it Paul having a deja vu moment. Deja vu? Well, persons, when you study counseling and psychology, they say deja vu is a sign of madness. You know? So I need to be sort of careful what I say. But you know, sometimes you have a type of deja vu moment where you think that you already had this experience. You know, it's like, I'm almost sure this thing happened to me before. Well, Paul was having a deja vu time. Because here he was in Jerusalem, and Barnabas was explaining some things that happened to Paul while he was in Jerusalem. And here's what was happening. Paul spoke boldly. That sounded like what was happening to him when he was in Damascus. After he spoke boldly, the Jews got upset and wanted to kill him. So they plotted to kill him. And then he had to take evasive action again. Doesn't it sound like I'm talking about the same thing that happened in Damascus? Paul was consistent. Right? And so sometimes, and the devil has a weird way of working on us sometimes, you know. Sometimes we do good for Christ. And, you know, some negative come, but we stand up strong. But then afterwards, it's almost like we get weak, you know. Like, because of that experience, we don't want to have that experience again. So if we find ourselves in the same situation, we just avoid it. But here was Paul. He had that experience in Damascus. And when he had to run away from Damascus, then he found himself in Jerusalem with the same type of situation. And guess what he did? He behaved exactly the same. And so it is that we need to be consistent wherever we are and whatever situation we find ourselves. We need to be proclaiming Christ. Now, that is the picture of Paul having just become a Christian and how he interacted with non-Christians. All right? You know, it would seem that he made a deliberate effort to cause them to feel unhappy and upset with him. Alright? So when he dealt with the non-Christian, it's almost like Paul's situation is, I don't care if you like me or not. I recognize that you need to know the good news of Christ, and I'm going to tell you that Christ is the Messiah. Love it if you want. Hate me if you want. I am going to be teaching the truth. And so that ought to be us as Christians. That's how we need to be dealing with it. Next few minutes, I want us to again look at Paul. But this time I want us to take a glimpse of Paul and his interaction with the Christian. You see, it is probably easy for us to say, you know, Paul was always thus dealing with the non-Christian, you know, preaching and, you know, being evangelistic and things. But the truth is that we cannot become Christians and don't deal with other Christians. And so Paul showed us, or we get a glimpse of how we should be interacting with one another. And one of the first things, even from the same case in Acts chapter 9, we see that there was a dependence on other disciples. There was a dependence on other disciples. Guess what? We cannot survive by ourselves. We need the support of others. But as much as Paul depended on other Christians, he did not necessarily conform to their actions. Let's read verse 25, same Acts 9.
Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket.
Alright. So we're back at the same story, you know. Paul preached. People understood what he was saying. They're vexed with him. Want to get rid of him. So he's taking evasive action. But in taking evasive action, he depended on his brethren. And so it is that as we go through our life and have our challenges, we have to depend on each other in order to survive. It's not just me, and I'm going to do it all on my own. Paul had to flee, he had to get away, but he needed the support of others. Verse 30.
Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus.
Alright. So, I want you to notice, alright, so probably we'll miss it if we're not careful. Paul taught. They wanted to kill Paul. Why didn't they want to kill every Christian? Paul was out there more than the others. And so it is that sometimes we come into the church, or we are in the church. Right? We don't even have to look at it that we have just come in. We are in the church, and in our mind, persons are not doing all that they ought to do. We should be more active for Christ. We should be taking the gospel out there more. What do we do? Do we conform to that laissez-faire attitude towards the gospel? Or do we take it on ourselves to get active and start defending and putting Christ and the church out there? That's what Paul did. So notice that they were targeting Paul. So while he got the support of his brethren, it is obvious that his brethren were not as active as he was. But that was not a deterrent to Paul. He kept doing what he knew he ought to do. He decided to make a difference. He dared to be different. You know, we also observe that Paul, when he was in a particular area or in a particular geography of the church, he associated himself with the church in that location. Did you miss that? Let's read verse 19 again. Verse 19.
And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus.
Okay, so he became a Christian. He had some trials. As soon as he recovered, after certain days, he started to associate with Christians that were at Damascus. So Paul recognized that he couldn't go and associate himself with some other religious sect. He had to associate himself with the brethren that were at Damascus. Read verse 26.
And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples.
Okay, step back up to verse 25.
Then the disciples took him by night.
So this was the evasive action. So they wanted to kill him and he was running away. So they took him by night and they let him down
by the wall in a basket.
Alright, in a basket.
And when Saul was come to Jerusalem.
So he ran away from Damascus. Now when he reached Jerusalem, what did he do?
In Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself with the disciples.
Alright, so he then associated himself with the disciples in Jerusalem. What's the point? He did not seek to just stay by himself. He did not seek to go to some other religious body. He found the church in his geography. Simple thing, you know. But let us learn. Because sometimes we go to a different location and we just go and associate ourselves with a denomination. Or we go somewhere and we don't even seek out the Lord's body in that location. We just stop going to church altogether. We do not seek to associate ourselves with members. All right, so but that's exactly what Paul did. So we are seeing now, as he associates himself with Christians, that he depended on other disciples. We saw that he associated himself with the church in whatever location he went to. What we also see is that Paul had to build trust. So sometimes persons will not trust us. Sometimes persons don't know us. They may not believe us. And if we are not careful, then we just draw into a little corner and say, people are not warm towards me. They did not welcome me. But that wasn't Paul's attitude. In fact, look, read verse 26 for me and verse 27.
And when Saul was come to Jerusalem,
yes,
he assayed to join himself to the disciples.
Yes.
But they were all...
He wanted to associate himself with the other Christians in Jerusalem, but what?
They were all afraid of him.
They were afraid of him. They didn't trust him. They were very suspicious of him. And did they have good reasons to be?
Yeah.
Yes. Why were they afraid of him? Well, they didn't believe that he was really a disciple.
Believe not disciple. That he was a disciple.
Mm-hmm. All right, continue.
But Barnabas took him. And brought him to the apostles.
Yes.
And declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. Mm-hmm. And that he had spoken to him. And yes, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus.
All right. So, sometimes we have to build trust. Now, you know what is going to cause persons to trust us? Our action. So, when Barnabas spoke on his behalf, Barnabas was not going to recall and count what it is that he has done. And Barnabas could say, well, you know, he did this, and he did that, and so therefore you can trust him. But guess what? He had to do action. So sometimes you come into a sphere and a person don't trust you, a person don't believe you, a person don't want to use you. But guess what? You do your thing for Christ. All right? And you would build up your own credentials. All right? So it is not sufficient to say, I am not going to be active for Christ because people, other Christians don't trust me and other Christians don't like me and things like that. Paul had to build his trust. That's what his action spoke for him. Sometimes the past will affect present relationship, right, but it is not an excuse to be inactive. His life was a personal testimony to Christians. You know, this might not have been just right after he became a Christian, but there are many things that we can recall about Paul. You know, he says, you know, some of the famous things, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You know, Paul has given so many encouraging words that could be another lesson. But his encouragement was, well, let's have one of them. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Or let's look at Philippians chapter 4. We kind of speak out some things there that, you know, when you listen to Paul talk, you realize that he was really an encouraging person. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we just see Paul as this servant of God who was just at non-Christians. But the truth is that he was also very encouraging to Christians. What does verse 9 say?
Those things which ye have both learned mm-hmm. and received mm-hmm. and heard and seen in me, mm-hmm. do, and the God of peace shall be with you.
All right. Okay, so he was encouraging that, you know, don't just... Well, let me put it positively. He was saying, the things that you that I'm telling you, these are things that I practice too. So he was setting a good example to others. All right? He wasn't just saying, well, here are some things that you ought to do. He's saying, the things you see in me, do. You know, it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. It says, be followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ. So this was his statement going through. But he has said many encouraging things. If we scan through chapter 4, you know, then over and over, he gives encouraging words. You know, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. This, as simple as a statement is like this, this can be a great encouragement, because sometimes things really hit us down, you know, but we can still rejoice. You know, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And if we go through chapter 4, just this chapter alone, over and over, we see encouraging words. You know, verse 13 is a very popular one. Read that one. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13.
I can do all things through Christ.
I can do all things through Christ,
which strengtheneth me.
And so what we are seeing here is that as Paul interacted with Christians, that he was encouraging to Christians. He was not a discourager in the faith, but he gave positive affirmation to keep strong. And so, what are we talking about, or what have we been talking about? Here we see a man who became a member of the church. And we saw that he interacted with Christians, and he also interacted with non-Christians. When he interacted with the non-Christians, he was always about the faith. And it's almost like him bring vexation all the time, because he was serious about it. But when he's dealing with the Christian, tends to be encouraging. Alright? Not to say, and I'm not going to go off on that, not to say that he would not talk sternly to Christians too. Because if you were ever off, Paul is going to set you straight. Was it Paul that says, boy, I don't want you to come with me on my missionary journey because of what you did the last time? John Mark, go your way. I don't want you to come with me. Was it that same Paul that when him see Peter, you know, one would probably want to say, boy, you know, Peter was a known apostle. You know, he got the keys to the kingdom, and he was making an error. Let me just, you know, not worry say anything. No. He withstood him to the face and corrected him. Right? So this is supposed to be our type of attitude. Where we see wrong, we have to point it out. But guess what? We're not pointing it out to belittle the person, but to help them to be strong again. So I want to just leave these words with you, these thoughts with you, as we look at, having looked at Paul, that as we interact with persons as Christians, there should be change. All right, but we should always be encouraging one another. But when it comes to persons who are not a part of the church, then as we interact with them, it should not be that they should feel that they are okay. It should always be that you need to conform to the way of Christ, Christianity, and the church. Even if they are upset and vexed with us, right, and want to kill us, we should have that type of boldness and conviction to keep going. We're going to invite the song leader to come and offer a song of invitation. And if we recognize that this is not what we have been, then today is as good a time as any to start taking up this type of attitude.
Please turn with me to song.